What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Welcome to Hollywood and Levine. I am Ken Levine, your podcast host, and my guest this week has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Damn, I wish it were Julia Roberts. Instead, it is a disc jockey. Actually, one of the last disc jockeys, Shotgun Tom Kelly. Now, he is really renowned. As I mentioned, he does have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He has won a number of industry awards. They know him in San Diego for years, and here in Los Angeles, he was on K-Earth 101 for over 10 years, and currently he is heard nationally on Sirius XM's 60s on 6 channel. And there's other things about him that you probably don't know. Like, for instance, he built a Tonight Show set in his garage. That's kind of a Rupert Pipkin thing to do from the movie King of Comedy. He was also raided once in a murder trial, and he hosted a kids show as a clown back in the day. Needless to say, he has quite a few very interesting stories. You probably have seen him. He's the guy that has the Smokey the Bear Ranger hat on all the time with the beard. Yeah, that's him. So I can't get Julia Roberts, but I'm happy to say that this week I have
Shotgun Tom Kelly, Hollywood and Levine.
So the first question I have to ask is, how did you first start wearing the Smokey the Bear hat? Where did that come from?
You know, everybody asked me that. You know that. Well, you know, my parents, we used to go camping on a summer vacation.
Okay.
And we used to go to the national parks, Sequoia, Yosemite. And I fell in love with the Rangers and Smokey the Bear.
Uh-huh.
And with that hat. I remember I had a Zorro hat. And I met a park ranger, and of course, pictures of Smokey Bear,
right?
Smokey the Bear.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I just put the four dents in it, and so that's how I, you know, as a kid, fell in love with the hat.
How hard is it to find those? Because you seem to have a million of them.
I do. Well, I had a deal with Stetson for a while, but where I found him...
You were probably the only guy who bought other than Rangers.
No. Of course, mine's felt. Mine's a expensive hat. You know,
okay.
We're talking $75
okay.
a copy.
So there's like a shotgun Myron Handelbaum running around somewhere wearing a hat like this?
I think it's a Georgia Highway Patrol officer.
Oh, okay.
Is what it is.
Uh-huh.
There was a place called Christensen's Department Store in East San Diego where I lived, and that's where I bought my first Ranger hat that I decided to wear when I was at KCBQ. Because when we were at KCBQ, you remember, we all had our identities.
Right.
Buzz Bennett had his spurs and his chaps, and Chuck
right.
Browning had his little hat with a cross on it, and I'm going...
Yeah, I had my yarmulke. Yeah.
There you go. And I said, well, I'm going to get back into the Ranger hat. So that's how it started. Did that answer your question?
Yes, that does. What does your wife think of the Ranger hat?
Well, do you want to know the truth?
Sure. Sure.
Just last weekend, we were going to see a friend of ours, Frank Anthony, who used to be one of the Rich Brothers.
Right.
And he's in a band. And so Linda and I were just getting ready to leave to go see Frank play his guitar in this band.
Uh-huh.
And so I put my hat on, and Linda goes, hey, you're not wearing that hat, are you? And I said, yeah, I will wear it. No, no, this is not about you. It's about Frank. Come on. We're going to see Frank. So let's put the hat away. So instead of putting the hat away, I put it in the car, okay? So anyway, we got to Grossmont Center where Frank and his band was. And by the way, he's very good on guitar.
Okay.
So anyway, we get there and we see Tony Pepper, okay? And I'm without my hat.
Tony Pepper is a colleague of yours.
Yeah, one of my best friends.
Okay.
And he says, where's the hat? I said, well, Linda won't let me wear it. What? You go out there and get that hat right out of your car right now. I said, well, I can't do it, man. I don't care. Go get it right
Grounds
now.
Grounds for divorce, probably.
I said, well, you got to talk to Linda. She don't want me to wear the hat because it's all about Frank. And he goes, I'll take care of Linda. You get that hat right now. So I got the hat. I walked in. We were at a restaurant, Mexican restaurant. And so I walked in and Linda's going, hey, what's with that? I told you no hat. And Tony goes, hey, let me tell you something, Linda. You know that house you own? Yeah. It's because of that hat. How about that car? It's because of the hat. And he's here to see Frank, and Frank wants Shotgun Tom here. So he's wearing the hat.
All right. By the way, you should know he came in today wearing the hat.
That's right. Oh, God.
Did you have that same voice when you were 7 years old?
No, I didn't, Ken. You know, when I was 10 years old, my mom, I came home from school, and you heard this when I was getting my start on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Right.
Now, I'll capsule this. My mom's a big radio fan. She was listening to Kogo Radio. And this guy...
This is in San Diego, by the way. You grew up in San Diego.
Right, I grew up in San Diego. So anyway, I was going to Catholic school, St. John of the Cross, Lemon Grove. So I came home, and my mother was listening to Frank Thompson on remote in Lemon Grove, and he's putting people on the air. So my mom says, hey, Tommy, there's a gentleman doing a broadcast just down the way here, and he's putting people on the air. Why don't you go down and see if he'll put you on the air? So I said, okay, Mom. Now, see, Ken, I didn't know anything about radio.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know what I wanted.
Still, you probably had a deeper voice than the announcer did.
I don't know. I don't think so. So anyway, I went down, and I'll imitate the announcer, who became a very good friend of ours. So I went down there, and I saw Frank Thompson in the Kogo Mobile Unit, and I was fascinated, as you were, with two turntables and a microphone. And so I saw him on the air, and I was just looking through the window. My nose was pressed against the glass. I was so fascinated. And he saw that, and he says, it's Frank Thompson on KOGO. We have a young man here. Come on in, young man, the Kogo Mobile Studio. What's your name? Oh, my name is Tom. What school do you go to, Tom? I go to St. John of the Cross Catholic School. Well, Tom, I've got 4 tickets to see the L.A. T-Birds when you come to town, when they come to town. Congratulations. So I thought I just won $1 million, man. And so I'm watching him.
Roller derby tickets.
Yeah. What's the chick's name that we used to watch on TV on Channel 5? Judy, do you remember
Judy Mull? There was like Chi Chi Muldowney and all these people. Yeah, I don't remember anyway, most of the names.
They were all coming to town. So I was thrilled to see that. So I went home and I built my own little radio station in my bedroom. And that started me off. I know you didn't ask that question.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. we're going where we're going.
That's right.
You know, radio at the time used to be live. Every station had live announcers. And so we could all learn our craft by going out of town and working smaller stations. What are some of your earliest stops along the way?
Well, my first station... I started hanging around stations, after I saw Frank.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at a middle-of-the-road station. Kogo was kind of like a KMPC, KSFO type station.
Sinatra and Edie Gourmet.
Yeah, but I wanted to go into a rock and roll station. So I went into Radio KDO in Fletcher Hills. They were playing rock. And so they let me in, and I was watching the jocks on the air, Ray Willis and Sonny Jim Price. Sonny Jim Price was the program director. And I was 13 years old at that time. And so he says, hey, I want to add this record. KHJ has not added it yet, and nobody in the country has added this record. So I want to be the first radio station in the country to add this record, and I need a teenager's opinion. So anyway, he pulled me in his office, and I'm in the program director's office, Jim Price. And so he played the record, and he said, well, what do you think of that song? I said, Mr. Price, I really like it. He said, okay, I'm going to add it. It was the Mamas and the Papas in California Dream.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
It is. Well,
that's a great story. Yeah.
So anyway, after that, he hired me as an intern.
Okay.
So anyway, I was working. That was my first radio job, not on the air.
Right.
So anyway, George Manning was working there weekends, and he was program director at KPRI, which played, you know, Sergio Mendez and the Brazil 66. Now, this is 1966. He said, how would you like to work Sunday mornings? I said, are you kidding me? I'd love to be on the air. So he put me on the air Sunday mornings. And that
and by then you had that voice.
I tried to have that voice. Because I was imitating Frank and Ray Willis, who had those voices, you know. And
I could imitate them. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, well, I started imitating them. Anyway, that was my first job at KPRI FM. And as you know, FM stations back then.
No one listened to FM
They didn't have it.
60s.
You'd go out in your car and it was AM radio only.
Right.
So anyway, do you want me to continue on my
track? You know, I want to go up to Bakersfield, where not only were you on the air, but you did a little TV. you did a TV show, a kid show.
I did.
Where you were Nemo the Clown.
That's right. That's one of your favorite stories.
Yes, yes.
And one of Tony Pepper's favorite stories.
Tell me the Nemo the Clown story.
Okay, I was working at Caffey. And I was doing an afternoon drive Monday through Friday. And then KERO, Channel 23, wanted to do a kids show on Saturday morning called Prize Party with Nemo the Clown. But they didn't have anybody play a clown.
Mm-hmm.
Well, man, I was looking to get into TV, you know.
Right.
And I think you were working at Kern.
I might have been, yeah.
So anyway, I became Nemo the Clown.
You traumatized so many kids in Bakersfield.
Really did.
Yeah.
Well, there was just so anyway, it's alive. This is a live program,
right?
On KERO Channel 23, the ABC affiliate, Time Life broadcast in Bakersfield.
Okay.
And so I was Nemo the Clown, and we had kids on the show,
right?
You know, and so I brought a kid up, and hey, here we have a young man here, and this kid, I can't remember what he said. He says, "Well, Nemo, did you know this, that, and the next thing?" I said, "Well, of course, Nemo ain't stupid. I knew that." That's one of your favorites. Nemo ain't stupid.
Nemo, this is an expression my wife and I have used for the last 40 years.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on your
toes. Oh, no. But, you know, my wife will say, so do you know how to get to Shotgun Tom's house? And I'll go, Nemo ain't stupid.
Yeah.
We use it all the time.
It's great to laugh at it, you know.
The other thing, so you go back to San Diego, and how old are you when you actually went back to your old hometown as a top 40 disc jockey? You were in KGB back in those days.
I wanted to be a boss jock. You know that.
Yeah.
I think we all did, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Because we all love the real Don Steele, Robert W. Morgan.
Right.
Everybody on KHJ. So, and I loved all the boss jocks on KGB in San Diego. You had Steve J, so many great guys. Tom Mall, you know. When I was in Bakersfield at Caffey, there was a job opening at KGB, 136 KGB Boss Radio. And so I sent a tape in, and Charlie Van Dyke was the program director. And so he called me. I mean, I'd never talked to him before. Listened to him many times on KFRC
right.
when he was the morning guy.
Voice even deeper than yours.
Oh, yeah. Deeper than
your Minnie Mouse.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
a preliminary boy compared to him.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, I get this phone call from Charlie Van Dyke, and of course I know who he is. And I said, "Hello, yeah, this is Charlie Van Dyke. You know, is this Shotgun Tom Kelly?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I got your tape, and I think it sounds a little too good." "Oh, really?" "Yeah." He said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. For the next 2 weeks, I want you to do really good shows on Caffey, and I'm going to come up and listen. I'm not going to tell you what day, but I'll be up there. So you better do good shows. I want to see if this is for real." So, man, I was scared. I'm going, wow, when's he going to come up? So anyway, a week later, I see him standing out the window, because everybody knows what he looks like.
Right.
From the Boss 30, he had the little Van Dyke goatee, very thin guy. And there was Charlie Van Dyke standing outside the radio station. And he said, "Let's go out to dinner." Went out to dinner, and we had a nice conversation, a lot of great chit-chat. And he said, at the end of dinner, he says, "Shotgun, how bad do you want to go to KGB in San Diego?" And I said, "Charlie, more than anything in this world." And he extended his hand, and he said, welcome to KGB.
Wow, great story. So you're in San Diego, yes, and you're at KGB, and eventually you go to KCBQ. Mm-hmm. Now, you set up a Tonight Show set.
Yeah, I did.
In your garage.
Yeah, and you did one of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you would, like, have people come over, and, yeah, and they would do those shows. Today, you know, you put them on YouTube. You'd have your own YouTube channel. You'd, yeah, actually be broadcasting. But there was a time when it caused you some problems when, what, the FBI raided your house?
No, no.
What happened
there? See, I did 26 Tonight Shows. I built a Tonight Show set in my garage.
Right.
Multicolored curtains. But when you did your show, it was, I was just starting out.
Uh-huh.
I believe you sang Ladies of the Tramp or something like
that. I think so, yeah. Uh-huh. Anyway, a tape does not exist of that,
I know,
by the
I
way.
Wished it does.
I'm glad it doesn't. Thank you.
Oh, I'm going to find it one of these days, and then I'm gonna terrorize you, Ken. Anyway, by the way, you did a great job on that
show. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
As I recall.
Eat your heart out, Frank.
So anyway, yeah, I eventually built the set up to really look like The Tonight Show, and we did, on your show, it was a one-camera shoot. But then, as I worked at the television station KUSI doing a kid show, I used to con the guys in to let me have a two-camera shoot.
I mean, this was very elaborate.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I had a boom. Well, first
this is
of all,
like that Martin Scorsese King of Comedy movie.
Several people have brought that up
to me.
But anyway.
I wonder why.
Now I know.
Yeah.
So anyway, now I got the multicolored curtains, and you can come out and do your monologue, and got the desk and the guest chair and the couch and the backdrop. I mean, it really looks like The Tonight Show.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, to answer your question, I asked the chief of police, Bill Collender, and I asked the sheriff of San Diego County, Sheriff John Duffy, to come out and do a show. Now, I wanted John Duffy to do the Johnny Carson character.
Okay.
And Collender, the chief of police, was going to be a guest. And, of course, I'm Ed McMahon. And now...
You're not even the star of your own Tonight Show?
No.
Okay.
And now, here's Johnny. Johnny, the sheriff, yeah. John Duffy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very funny. Now, you've seen that show.
Yes, I have.
And you got to admit, now, you're a comedy...
Yeah, no.
That guy wrote it.
For a police chief... That guy was a riot.
He was good.
Yeah, you know, he held for laughs. You
that
don't usually see that with law enforcement officers.
That
yeah.
was one take.
Okay, so how'd you get in trouble?
Okay, so anyway, it became a cult favorite of both departments. Their bosses doing a make-believe Tonight Show.
Right.
And it was out there for about 7 years. Well, here's how I got in trouble, to answer your question. Johnny Rogers... he was a Heisman Trophy winner from the Chargers.
Okay.
Okay. He was in jail for pulling a gun on a cable guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he wanted to get out of jail. So he heard that there was this investigation that the state attorney general's office had taken it away from the sheriff and the San Diego Police Department. And now they're investigating these murders because they thought Sheriff John Duffy and Chief Police Bill Collender was protecting their vice officers because these prostitutes were being murdered in San Diego.
Okay.
Yeah, so anyway, the Homicide Task Force had a warrant. They came, well, first of all, before the warrant, they came over, and I'm very proud of these shows.
Right.
I showed them the Sheriff John Duffy show.
Uh-huh.
And they said, oh, well, there's, you know, they were told that one of the dead prostitutes was on the show.
Oh.
But
this became, in San Diego, like headline news, yep. wasn't it?
Now, remember...
That they raided your house and they took all your tapes?
Yes,
and
they did. I was doing a children's show on KUSI.
Dead prostitute in Nemo's house.
Well, you know, I always wanted to be on the front page of the paper. And the front page of the... You've seen the headline, 750 tapes seized in murder probe.
Uh-huh.
Gee, my niece. So anyway...
How many years did you serve?
No, I didn't serve any. In fact, they raided my house, and, it was wonderful. All the TV stations were doing stand-ups in front of my house. And Paul Bloom came and did a crime watch. Right, I had him on the set and all that stuff. And so anyway, they did all these things, and...
You kept your kid show job?
I had to get an attorney, and because I didn't have those prostitutes on the show.
Yeah.
There were no women on that show.
Uh-huh.
But Johnny Rogers said that I had shown the Homicide Task Force another tape, and that I was hiding the tape.
You can't trust these Heisman Trophy winners.
Exactly.
What the hell is going on?
So anyway, they took a year, and back of the paper, the state attorney general's office said Shotgun Tom's house should not have been raided.
But there you go.
It wasn't headlines. It was in the back.
Yeah, it always is. Okay, you introduced for the first time John Lennon's Imagine.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
Lovely job.
Yeah, tell us about that.
All right. Well, this is when I was at KCBQ. Of course, we always wanted to be KHJ to the exclusives.
Right.
So we went to Capitol Records, which was Apple Records,
right,
the division there. And so we said, hey, listen, before you give it to KHJ, give us the brand new John Lennon song, and we'll play it first. We'll do a whole promotion. We'll have an armored truck meet the PSA jet as it flies uh-huh. in the acetate,
uh-huh.
and we'll do the whole deal. And this is before video, so it was film,
right?
And so we had KFMB all set up, so they agreed to it because it's a
big
promotion.
Deal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so we were going to play it one day, and of course KHJ would play it the next. So that was the agreement. So anyway, we didn't know for a month. We programmed the fact that KCBQ has the world exclusive of the brand new John Lennon song. You're going to hear it first here on KCBQ. And so we never knew when it was going to come in, but it came in. And so we set up all the promotion. We had a motorcycle escort out to Santee when it came in. And there were cameras set up on the other side of the glass. And it came in on my show, Ken.
Uh-huh.
And so anyway, Rich Brother Robin took it and he put it on cart. Because an acetate's got about, 10 plays?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he had to get that on cart. So anyway, put the song on a cart, which is like a tape thing you plug in. And so gave it to my intern. My intern brings it. Now you got Rich Brother Robin didn't type it on. He wrote it on. So give me a break, will
okay,
you?
All right.
So he wrote the title of the song on uh-huh. the cart, gave it to the intern. He comes into me, and I'm seeing it. Now there are film cameras on the other side. So anyway, I put it in the cart machine, and I said, ladies and gentlemen, we've been telling you that we'd have the brand new John Lennon song, and today is the day. That brand new John Lennon song, right here on the Shotgun Tom Kelly Show on KCBQ, that you've been waiting for. And I look down to the cart, and I go, Imogene! It was Imagine. Yeah.
So you've played that song many times since.
Yes.
Have you ever been tempted?
I have.
To just go, here's Imogene.
Oh, I've done it. I've done it just as a hoot, you know, just see if anybody was paying attention.
Radio was a lot more fun back then, wasn't it?
You know, it really was. And that was a mistake that turned out to be a funny bit. And Johnny Kay spoke so eloquently at my star about that. And by the way, I want to thank you, because I didn't want to be a blithering idiot when I got my star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And a lot of things were happening at that time. And I wanted somebody to write my words that I was, when I got up there to speak. And at the last minute, I called upon you. And you did not fail me. You didn't fail me.
Yeah, you got some good laughs.
You wrote some great sound bites. Because that's what TV stations want. They
right.
don't want long, drawn-out things. They want sound bites. And you wrote some of the greatest sound bites. And I just really want to thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. You know, I got a chance to do that for you. And also, the Texas Ranger announcer, Eric Nadell, when he went into the Baseball Hall of Fame, I punched up his speech as well. And that was really cool because I was watching it on TV and they have all the former Hall of Famers are just sitting there together, you know, two rows. And he would tell one of my jokes and it would get laughs from everybody. And then they would cut to the Hall of Famers. And I'm going, oh my God, I made Henry Aaron laugh. Oh, Sandy Koufax is laughing at one of my jokes.
You were fantastic. And listen, the same way happened. I look at the video on YouTube. By the way, you can go on YouTube. Shotgun Tom gets a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And if you look real closely, in the area of the red rope, there you are.
Yeah, there I am.
And you're seeing me there deliver those lines.
Yeah. You know, and I'm of course laughing like an idiot. Because
yeah, but how does it feel? And you're interviewing me, but now I'm going to interview you for
okay.
just a moment.
All right, don't make me cry.
I know.
Okay.
How does it feel to have, you know, the baseball guy and uh-huh. myself recite some of your words?
You know, it's great to hear the laughter. You
that's
know,
the payoff.
I mean, for me, that's the payoff, is that the joke worked, it got a good laugh. The laughter, to me, is the drug.
Well, you know, Channel 7 used the bite where, remember the line, I said, you know, I've been looking forward to this star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, but, you know, I've been looking forward to meeting some rock and roll groups. And I thought maybe if I were in this business maybe 20, 30 years, I might have a chance to meet the Cal Sills.
Yeah.
That got a great laugh.
Yeah.
And George Pinocchio on Channel 7 used that as a soundbite.
Wow. Great.
Yeah.
All right. I made it to Channel 7.
You did, baby.
So you eventually got to K-Earth, KRTH in Los Angeles, which was a top-rated oldie station for years and years and years. And those oldie stations generally play like the same 87 records over and over and over. Do you ever get sick of playing those same goddamn 87 records
over and
over?
Can you talk that way on your podcast?
Yes, I can. Yes,
I was trying to clean my act up.
Yeah, yes, you can.
Oh, wow.
You can drop an F-bomb if you want.
Well, I do speak fuck-a-doodle-doo.
Okay.
But anyway, it was 1997, and I was in San Diego. I never wanted to come to L.A., you know. I was very happy being, you know, doing the kid
right.
show in San Diego and working at all those great stations. I worked at every one of them. I was kind of I ran out of them,
uh-huh.
as a matter of fact. And so I was doing TV voiceovers, you know, like Van Dyke. Not as much as Van Dyke, but I had a few stations around the country. And so when the real Don Steele passed away, and as you know, you and I were big fans
oh
of
my God.
Don Steele.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that guy, we have so much respect for.
Yeah.
And we loved his style.
I worked with him on two stations.
Oh, and you got
yeah.
to work. I
mm-hmm.
never got to work
yeah.
with him. You did.
Mm-hmm.
I only met him about three times.
Oh,
and,
that's great.
I can't say I knew him. I did know Robert W. Morgan
yeah.
very well, but not Don. Don was kind of a shy guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Even when you worked with him at 10Q, right?
Yeah, 10Q and K100.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was, you know, he kind of sat back and observed. He had the greatest bullshit detector of anybody I ever met.
That's what yeah. Sean Steele tells me about
yeah.
him. You know,
yeah, he was amazing. But so you get that job.
Yeah.
You know, you're taking over for the real Don Steele. And again, it must be great at first.
I was scared to death,
but
man.
But after years, how many times did you play Pretty Woman by Roy Orbison? How many times did you play Sitting at the Dock of the Bay by
many
Otis Redding?
Many times. And I'll tell you, every time I play it, it's like the first time.
Really?
Wow. That's the mindset that I use.
Oh, wow. Okay.
When I play the Beach Boys, I get around. It's a first time. I'm so excited.
Is there any song you hate?
Yes.
Okay.
A song that I really don't like, man, that We Five, and I woke up this morning.
And You Were On My Mind? That was the one you
don't like that song.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's not bad, but I just don't like it, man.
Yeah.
When I woke up this morning, you were on my mind. And you were on my mind. I got troubles, oh, I got wounds to bind. So I went to the corner just to ease my pain.
Yeah. Ballad of the Green Beret.
Oh.
That one kind of does it for me.
Yeah, I don't like that one either.
Yeah.
There's a few.
The Unicorn Song.
Oh, God.
You know. Good Morning, Starshine.
The Frankie Valli thing, Vaudeville Band, I don't like that one either.
Oh, the new Vaudeville Band?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Winchester Cathedral.
See, now you're getting into stuff I don't like. You know, you're bringing stuff
well,
up.
Well, because I'm trying to... Other people don't ask you this question,
no,
right?
No, they don't.
Okay.
Well, that's why your podcast is so great. You're going to ask me questions that other people don't ask.
That's right. Okay, I'm going to tell a funny story about you.
Please.
Okay. I'm working on Aftermath, and the head writer of Aftermath was the great Larry Gelbart.
Okay.
And he was like the Mozart of TV comedy writers.
All right.
All right? So you call the office one day, and the assistant buzzes in, and Larry picks up the phone. You thought it was me picking up the phone. You get on the phone and you just go, one of those, baby, one of those.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I hear from Larry Gelbart, who the fuck is this?
Probably blue.
Yeah.
You better believe it, baby.
Yeah. Who the fuck is this? So you got
I
a chance.
Thought it was you. You
can, no, you got a chance to speak to the great Larry Gelbart. Now you're on Sirius XM. You're on 60s
well, yeah,
on
six. Before, can I, you know, you did
You
another,
can talk about anything you want.
You did another solid for me, man. When you were writing for MASH.
Oh, I have two kidneys. That's okay.
When you and David were writing for MASH, you let me and Bill Moffitt come up to the Fox lot, and you got us on the lot. And you got us inside where they were filming, you know, the half tents inside the soundstage. And you said, hey, listen, man, I got to go. I got to come up with 13 jokes. But I want you guys to enjoy yourself. So we actually got to watch Alan Alda and all those guys do scenes. And it was great. And as a matter of fact, they had a fire in there.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Okay, yes.
That was the day they had the fire.
Uh-huh.
And everybody had to get out of there.
Uh-huh.
But I that's a wonderful memory.
Oh, thanks.
That I will cherish for the rest of my life.
Well,
thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. So, SiriusXM, 60s on 6. How different is it talking to a national audience as opposed to just talking to folks in one particular city?
Well, it's great because I get email when I was at K-Earth, I couldn't really, you know, it was... K-Earth 101, Shotgun Tom Kelly. Don't forget, qualify for Hawaii coming up next. I mean, it was short stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can go 60s on 6, Shotgun Tom Kelly. And let me tell you something. I got this beautiful email from George in Wisconsin. And George says he listens to me every night and he loves my show. Keep up the 60s. Thank you, George. And that kind of stuff. And I get to read email on the air.
Uh-huh.
Where... I could never do that at K-Earth. It was always bah, 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 bah.
You know, when you're on a radio station, it's always on your mind that the coverage, you know? That if you're like on a big station and you're on at night, you know, and you're in San Diego and you're going, oh, they can hear us in Los Angeles tonight. They can hear us down in Mexico. Well, now you're on the entire country, and like this podcast is heard around the world.
Yes.
There's like 40% of the listeners of this podcast are international.
That's
listening in Sweden. They're listening in Kuwait.
Which is much better than being on a 50,000-watt transmitter.
I know. It's amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing. And the emails that I get from Canada, New York, Philadelphia, Colorado.
Is radio dead? Is radio as we know it, I mean, the fun that we all used to have, are you one of the last disc jockeys?
I hate to tell you this, but I think it is.
Yeah.
Especially terrestrial radio.
Uh-huh.
There's too many commercials. Ken, there's too many commercials.
One of the reasons why satellite has caught on.
I've listened
to satellite for like 10 years, and... when I have to get my car fixed, you know, and you get a loaner and it doesn't have satellite and you have to listen to terrestrial radio again, you're just going like, oh, you kidding me?
Well, we have no commercials.
Oh, my God.
We have no commercials.
Right.
And
you just get spoiled.
When you're a subscriber to satellite radio, Tony Pepper...
you keep mentioning Tony Pepper.
Because he's...
Who is Tony Pepper?
Tony Pepper's my best friend and... he's also working here in Hollywood. Tony.
He's an engineer, radio engineer.
He's a producer.
Okay.
He's a world class editor.
Uh-huh.
He's won. You see some of his stuff on CNN and all those places. Anyway, the guy's really brilliant. And he put it to me this way. He said, you've got to realize your listeners are invested, they're paying for this service.
Right.
And so they don't mind hearing you talk a little bit about the song or about them. In fact, they like it.
Well, enjoy listening to you and look forward to hearing you every afternoon or evening, depending upon you are.
I'm on 4 in the afternoon to 9 Pacific, except Wednesday. Cousin Brucey's on Wednesday.
Right.
So I'm on 4 days a week,
okay.
Monday through Friday, 4 to 9 Pacific, 7 to midnight Eastern.
Okay, and the next time you play We Five, You Are On My Mind, I'm going to laugh.
I bet you are, man. I don't like that song.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Ken. You know, I've always loved you, and I always will, and you are so funny.
See, this is why he's my guest. This is why he's my guest. Okay, usually I don't give out, you know, any parting gifts, but take my car.
Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. Good night, everybody.
Shotgun Tom Kelly, Hollywood and Levine.
If he ever comes up with that tape of me singing Lady is a Tramp, I will kill him. Anyway, thanks so much to Shotgun Tom Kelly for being my guest this week. Also, our thanks to Adam and Susie Meister-Butler, to John Wolfert, Howard Hoffman, Bruce, and Jason Miller. If you want to get in touch with me, HollywoodLevine@Outlook.com is my email, HollywoodLevine@Outlook.com. You can also follow me on Instagram, Hollywood and Levine. I'm on Twitter, who isn't, @KenLevine. Please subscribe if you haven't already, and I could sure use a 5-star review. Thanks so much for listening. I will talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.